Turn with me in your Bible, please. I'm going to actually have you turn, and then I have some things to share with you, and we'll see where the Lord will take us with the scriptures. Go to John chapter 8. Stick a bookmark in there. Matthew chapter 7. Stick a bookmark in there, and Jeremiah chapter 4, and stuck a bookmark in there. And then I ask that you would listen to what the Lord has placed on my heart, what he's been speaking to me over the last several days. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for bringing us all together. I want to thank you for your call to prayer, your call, this opportunity that we have, Lord God, to come before you and hear your word. Hear your word in this hour. That we might weep before you on behalf of the church. That we might hear your heart on behalf of the church. Give us grace. Grace. Let your grace to receive fall down upon us, Lord God. Give us grace. I thank you, Lord. Thank you that your presence is here. Thank you. In your precious name. Amen. I want to share with you a couple of dreams and a couple of visions and an experience that I had. And then we're going to go over some scripture, and I'm going to share with you what the Lord has been speaking to me about the church. And we're in a very crucial time in the history of the church, a very crucial time. At the end of last year, after the election, I shared this. It's on our website. It's called The Baptism of Anguish, or Anguishing Over the Church, something to that effect. It's on the Prophetic and Intercessor Training Ground page of our website. You can listen to it, part one and two. In November, the Lord told me that judgment was coming to the house of God. And through this process, he was going to redefine the church. Why is he redefining the church? Because the church is defined, the church is identified with such sin and such corruption, it's not a vessel for people to come to anymore and find God. They come as a club. It's a club. We come and we enjoy some singing. And people say, Ricky, you're pretty hard on the church. Well, you know what? The Lord's heart is broken over the church. His heart is broken over the church. And he wants to release his glory in the earth. Last year, I shared about the manifestation of the sons of God. It's also on our website if you want to go listen to it. And he wants to release the sons of God. But he can't do it right now when the church is in the condition she's in. The heart of the Lord is broken over the condition of the church. And as intercessors, our hearts should be too. When Trump was elected, just before he was elected, I had a vision of him. I was in prayer, and I had a vision of him. And I was, in this vision, I saw Trump, you know, and he was in his typical white dress shirt. His tie was loosened around his neck. He didn't have his jacket on, but his sleeves were rolled up. And he was standing in the middle of the country. And he was kind of in this, the middle of the country had sunk down. And he had a chain in his hand. And he was standing there, and he began to pull this chain up. And he was bent over as he pulled this chain up. And the chain was big. And he was pulling, and he was pulling, and he was pulling, and he was sweating, and he was working, and he was fighting with all of his might to pull up whatever he was trying to pull up. He pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled. And I thought, how long can that chain be? When will he get to the end of what he's trying to pull up? The vision went on. It went on, it seemed like, for several minutes as I watched him pull and pull and pull and pull. His face was beet red, and he was sweating profusely, and he pulled 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 and he pulled. Without wavering, he pulled and he pulled and he pulled and he pulled until finally a pole came up. And as he lifted this pole, he sat it up and he stuck it in place. And when he was done, the Lord said he just raised the standard of righteousness in this nation. And all around him, what was a pit was lifted up about 4 feet off of, above the rest of the land. And the Lord told me, it's the responsibility of the intercessors to finish the job. Because I have put the man in office who will raise a standard of righteousness in this nation. Whatever our personal opinions are, we need to understand the man sitting in the White House today is God's choice. As President of the United States of America, he's done more to fight human trafficking. He has done more. He's done more campaigning to dial back abortion than any president in history. That's what he has done. He's done more to protect the family and the church than any man in history. And we have done nothing but judge him and curse him with our words. And when we didn't rally around him last year for the election, and when we didn't rally around him as he sought to put a man who would stand for righteousness in the Supreme Court, the Lord said, judgment is coming to the house of God. Why is that? Because we didn't obey. The last straw. He put a man in office who is raising the standard of righteousness in our nation. And as a church, our responsibility is to raise the standard of righteousness in the house of God. But instead, the platforms are used to condemn him. The platforms are used now to help support politicians who fight for abortion. And I'm going to tell you something right now, and it's going to sound really, really harsh, but I'm telling you the truth from the Lord. Anyone who votes for a Democrat in this hour has blood on their hands. And I know that sounds harsh, because the Democrats have fought under the title of a woman's right to choose for abortion until the last minute possible. They fought on Monday, which you probably did not see in the mainstream media, because they were silent when this vote was held. But there was a bill before the House, the bill before Congress, that if a baby were to, by some miracle, survive the brutality of abortion, the doctor must provide a tube for oxygen. We can't let that baby struggle and sit on a cold, icy table and die. But they must bring forth some intervention, and it would criminalize those who didn't. It was a simple bill. It didn't require much. There was no hidden agenda. And they voted it down. It was an opportunity to save life. If a baby miraculously survived the brutality of being ripped from its mother's womb, that means it's far enough along. We're talking last trimester stuff here. Life-saving efforts. Not traumatic. Simple steps. And they voted it down. Where was the church? Where was the cry of the church to save those babies? Do you know what happens in an abortion today? Do you know Bush signed a law against partial birth abortion, the brutality of partial birth abortion? Do you know that third trimester abortions, that's what it is? It's partial birth abortion. It's the same act with a different name. And it's back in our country, thanks to Obama. That's what's taking place. So when we vote for a Democrat, every Democrat, I believe there are three Democrats, three, who voted for it. All the rest voted against it. So when we vote for a Democrat, we're voting for someone who supports the killing of the unborn. So yes, the Lord says there's blood on our hands. About 4 or 5 years ago, and I prayed today, I prayed for grace for all of us, because the weight of this, it's heavy. It's heavy because it's serious. It's so serious what's taking place. The bloodshed on our land, it's serious. About 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, it might have been even a little bit more, Karen Session, you guys all know her very well. She answers the phone, she does registration, and she is a powerhouse in prayer. And she's my best friend. She had a dream that she came up to a church. It was clearly a church. It was all cement. But there were no windows and no doors. and there was a man with her. He climbed up on the church, and he pulled her up with him. And they went over, and the tree, there was a tree out there that it had grown, and it was almost like a thicket that was leaning over the church. And in the middle of this tree, there was a white garment. It was folded neatly, and it was tucked inside this tree. And he took her over, and he reached in. He was quite tall. And he reached in and stretched out over, and he took this white garment. And he handed it to her, and she's been reflecting on that. And I'm going to share my experience this week with you, because the Lord is connecting some things. It's so amazing how the Lord works. This week, on Saturday, I became quite ill. In fact, I was ill for 5 days, and it's very unlike me to be ill. My throat gets hit. I have allergies. My throat gets hit, but it's very unusual for me to actually get sick. And I have, you know, grandbabies everywhere, but I'm usually pretty immune. But Saturday, I became very ill, very ill. And I got a stomach flu. And by the evening, I couldn't keep anything in. I was so sick. It's very unusual for me. And by nightfall, I had a fever, which is highly unusual for me. I never get fevers. In fact, my body temperature, I run low on the temperature scale, but I had a pretty high fever. It was actually exactly 100, and I'm a 97 person. It was hard for me to get to sleep because my body hurt, and it hurt, and it hurt so bad. Every part of my body hurt. I'm sure we have some nurses out there saying, well, that was from the fever, dear. But every part of my body ached. And when I fell asleep that night, I found myself standing in front of what looked like a fortress. And I was at the corner of it. And it looked like a fortress, like something you would see in medieval days. The walls were aged. There was black mold on them, and there was moss growing up, and you could tell it was built kind of like, you know, they do the concrete with the mason, the big mason bricks, but they had plastered over it, and but it was wearing off, and moss was growing up it, and it was very, very worn, and the walls went as far as I could see to the left, and as far as I could see to the right. There were trees around, but the trees were actually scorched. The grass was dead. There was no life. And it went up about 3 stories. And I stood there at the corner of this fortress. All night, I dreamt this dream. I woke up in the night. I went back to sleep, and I dreamt this dream. All night, I stood at the corner of this fortress. And as I stood there, and I looked up at these walls, and as far as the eye could see to the left and to the right, I longed to be inside. And I knew it was the church. Like the Lord had given me this ache, His ache to enter this church. But they had sealed up the windows and the doors, just like the one that Karen saw in her dream. It was completely sealed up. If you think about the one that Karen saw about 4 or 5 years ago, and it had white garment, almost its purity, the holiness, had been placed outside the church in a tree. And here in the one I saw, it had grown, this church. It had grown, but it had become sick. Moss was growing on the walls. Mold, the wear and tear, the decay of 5 years. The decay was that of decades, perhaps a century. And as I shared this with Karen, what I saw, what I experienced all night, that first night that I was sick, she was reminded of the dream that she had 4 or 5 years ago. I said, that's how far the church has come. That's the decline. And the Lord is standing outside, and He is aching to gain entrance into the heart of His people. You see, I believe that the angel of the Lord took Karen to get the holiness, the garment, the holiness. The angel of the Lord. Because the church had so defiled itself, there was no more holiness inside. And when He took and He removed it from the little tiny place it's been tucked away, corruption prevailed in the church. I taught on My House Shall Be Called an House of Prayer. Several weeks ago, the scriptures that John read were from that teaching. And you say, well, the church isn't that bad, but I'm here to tell you, when the Lord looks at the church and He sees the level of decay and corruption that is in the church, and it is so great, there's not even a garment of holiness within. The church is that bad. The church is that bad. We have a church today that is engaged in fornication. We have a church today that is engaged in pedophilia. We have a church today that is engaged in adultery with the world. Because where the world is, holiness of God cannot reside. We have a church today that supports candidates who vote for abortion. We have a church today that is walking in a place of self-righteousness. And that self-righteousness is so great, it is so steep, it stinks before the Lord God. It is a stench in his nostrils. I'm telling you the truth. It began with compromise. Compromise was allowed in the church. Compromise. Fornication crept in. And with each new sin, the Spirit stepped out. The sin became so filled. It had so filled the walls of the church. There was no room left for holiness. Until their little token of holiness was folded and placed in a tree that hung over the roof of their church. You know, things are feeling pretty hopeless right now, Ricky. This is feeling really hopeless. I have to give you the full picture. And I want to tell you, human trafficking, the depth of human trafficking, and you think, well, that's just the Catholic Church. I mean, I've seen that. I mean, they're talking about it. It's being published. It's pretty pronounced out there right now. You know, they're removing those priests and those cardinals. But it's also happening in the Baptist Church. It's also happening in the interdenominational churches. It's a very serious thing that's taking place in our churches today. We want the blessings of God. We want the holiness of God. We want the move of God, but he can't come until there's reformation in the church. We want reformation in our nation, and God has given us a president who can achieve that. But there's supposed to be a partnership. There's the judicial, governmental side of things, where God is raising up a standard of righteousness, beginning with the Cyrus God has put into place. And there's the church. Because that man's going to be in office for 4 to 8 years. The church is supposed to be around much longer. We've got to raise the standard of righteousness within the church so that we can retain what's done in our nation. A few days ago, Karen sent me a text, and she said she had the strangest dream. She was sitting, in my office chair, and I was on the phone with her, and the Lord told her, tell Ricky, the Red Sox are winning against the Jets. And she said, what? What? He said, tell Ricky, the Red Sox are winning against the Jets. Now, for most of us out there, we would think, okay, so what does that mean? For those who don't follow sports, they would be like, okay, there's got to be a prophetic meaning. For those that do follow sports, say, I am not putting those pieces together at all, because the Red Sox are a baseball team and the Jets are a football team. But the Red Sox are Boston-based. The Jets are in New York. And as she told me that, the Lord began to speak to me. And he reminded me where I went when I went to go visit my son. My son went to college back there. And I was waiting for him to meet with me. And I was walking around Boston. And I went where they developed the Declaration of Independence. And I saw where they wrote the desk that they wrote the documents. For our republic. The Republic of the United States of America. I went into the building and I saw where these documents, where these men came together and they established the foundation of our nation to free us from the rule of the Catholic Church. To establish a nation. And you say, well, there's so much steeped in our nation, and there's some Masonic roots there, and, you know, there was slavery that was going on. That's not what this is about. This is about the core, the foundation, the purpose, God's purpose for our nation. Do you know what God's purpose in compelling those men to come over here and fight the way they fought for us to have a nation independent from England? So that this nation would be a light unto all the earth. That was his purpose for forming this nation. That it would be a pathway for us to gain intimacy and relationship with God and take that intimacy and relationship with God and spread it unto all the earth. This nation was created to be a gospel spreader. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of the United States of America. To spread the gospel into parts unknown. This nation has sent out more than the globe than any other country. This nation was created to be a light unto all nations, and that is why the enemy continues to try to destroy it. Why do you think prophets all over the world speak into this nation? Why do you think the voice of God continues to pour down on this nation? Because it is the only nation that releases the gospel the way it does. Why do you think they keep trying to bring communism here? Why do you think they keep trying to bring socialism here? Why do you think? Because if they can do that, they can silence the gospel. We are called to be a beacon of light unto all the nations. So Boston is where it began. The legal documentation. And the Lord said, he said, that's what Trump is doing right now. Right now, he's breaking the chains off this nation that the enemy has placed on us so that she could fulfill her destiny. So the Jets, let's look at the Jets for a minute. Where are they from? New York. Let's consider New York for a moment. New York came out and declared a woman's right to choose. A woman's right to choose. No holds barred. For any reason, abortion on demand. It was very public. And it was very dark. It was very public, and it was very dark. Who supported it? The Clinton Foundation, sitting there, right there, clapping her hands. In 1993, the Clinton Foundation, under a different name, launched a program. Where from? New York. Where they would train and educate Planned Parenthood to perform abortions. 1993. They trained nurses. See, it used to have to be doctors only. They trained nurses and midwives. They went from there and they began to launch. They used that as a launching pad. They trained these women and released them throughout the country. Bill Clinton, while he was in office, he eliminated the gag law. And basically what that was is if anyone was on federally funded insurance, their medical care would not cover an abortion so that the blood would not be on the hands of the nation for that abortion, paying for it. So when Clinton came in, that used to be in effect. Clinton came in, he just took that thing right out. And in 2017, Trump signed it back into law. No federally funded abortions. The Red Sox are winning against the Jets. You have no idea the sheer judgment over the volume of abortions that this nation is responsible for. We weep and we pray, and we are not the only ministry that weeps about abortion. Many do, and it's because God is calling it, because abortion is so prevalent in our nation. Our rivers run deep with the blood of the unborn. The corruption that we see in New York seems like it's spreading. It's like a virus. Illinois popped up. We will be the most progressive abortion provider in the nation. Virginia, woman's in labor. Can I still have an abortion? And the governor, why, yes, you can. And it seems like it's spreading like a virus. It's like the Black Plague. But I want to tell you something. What we see with our eyes is different than how the Lord sees it. Because the Red Sox are winning against the Jets. What Trump is doing in and behind the scenes is having a greater effect than what we see. And as the church, as the true body of Christ, and I'm not talking about that defiled church right now, because we certainly need to pray for that church, but those that have come out of that, come out of the world. When the Bible talks about the church, the Bible says those, that word means those that have come up and out of the world and to God. That's the church. So I'm not talking about the structures. I'm talking about the people that are walking in righteousness. The people that are draped with the cloth of holiness. Because they're living their lives in the holiness of God. They're striving for righteousness in their life. We are responsible to raise the standard of righteousness in the church. Trump is doing what he's doing because God has given him the ability. God has granted him the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding and the prudence to accomplish the things he set before him. As a babe in Christ, he walks in more righteousness before the Lord than most seasoned pastors that have been there 30, 40 years. There's a standard of righteousness within him. God sees that. And for us to stand in judgment of him is wrong. We have to look at him through God's eyes. We have to look at him like a babe in Christ who gave up everything. You see, the Lord looks at this. What about the wealthy man who came to the Lord and said, I love you. I want to follow you. I obey the law. I serve. I give to the poor. He said, sell everything you have and follow me. And he couldn't do it. But Trump, when given the same test, followed through. He followed through. He had to give up his companies. He gave up his wealth. He gave up his privacy. He'll never have privacy again, his entire life. His family, they'll never have privacy again. They've given it all up for righteousness, to serve the Most High God. He gave it all up. What did Jesus say after that? It's harder for a camel to enter the eye of the needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to lay down his wealth. People will think, well, what can you fit through a needle, an eye of a needle? I mean, I've done some sewing. An eye of a needle was before the gate of a city. And the camel would have to go down low. And he would literally have to be brought by his handler to crawl underneath the eye of the needle. It was very low. That means a very humbling before the Lord God. A humbling. He has allowed God to humble him. as he has been humiliated and ridiculed publicly since he took office. He has been called every name in the book. And the church has stood there and shaken their finger at him instead of praying for him. We believe the lies that have been fed to us by the media. Do you know what the spirit is that goes behind the media? Do you know the demonic principality behind the media? It's called turnspeak. And it twists the truth. That's the principality that functions behind our media. So if we are listening to mainstream media, we are engaging with turnspeak and allowing them to corrupt the truth as it penetrates our lives. God didn't tell us to merge with the world. He said the world's going to hate you, but I need you to rise above. In Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 17. Paul, he's there with the Thessalonians, and the officials come in looking for him, and they grab Jason, because that's who he's staying with. They grab Jason and say, don't you know? What are you doing hanging out with these guys? They are turning the world upside down. They are turning the world upside down. And I'm here to tell you, we have been placed here to turn the world upside down. We haven't been placed here to meld with the world, to embrace and cuddle with turnspeak, to consort with people that kill babies, that mutilate children. We have been brought in this earth, called by God out of the world and to God to turn the world upside down. Ferociously, if need be. We war in the heavenlies. We wait before God for repentance, for mercy. And we war in the heavenlies. We don't stand for unrighteousness. You look up the seven deadly sins, and I can promise you, you will find every single one of those in the church today. And the Lord God is saying, enough is enough. You are supposed to represent me, my holiness. You are supposed to bring people in and compel them to seek my face. And you have raped them with deception and lies. With your fornication and your sin, you have brought compromise into the house of God. And I'm cleaning house. Jesus came and he cleaned house. At the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry, he cleaned house. And he said, my house has been called to be a house of prayer. Not a den of thieves. And we are stealing from people. There are churches out there today that will tell you that if you pay them, they will give you a word from the Lord. If you pay them, send in your seed offering. And the wealth of the wicked shall be delivered into your hands. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. The prosperity movement, name it and claim it, that is such section that has raped and pillaged the Church of Africa. It came from here to there, and I am telling you, it has raped the continent of Africa. As the people believed it. And the Lord will send forth his judgment into that church too. People say, we need judgment to come to our nation because the people seek God that way. How are they going to find him in such a defiled and sickened church? That's why judgment comes to the house of God first, then it comes to the land. My house shall be called a house of prayer. In this hour, I was sick for 5 days. 5 days. And I'm sure you know five represents grace. 5 days, I couldn't keep anything in. I had a tiny bowl of white rice, and I had four small jellos. 5 days, that's all I had, because I couldn't keep anything in. My body ached beyond what I thought it could ache. And as I reflected on all that, because I woke up today feeling fine, as I reflected on all of this, the Lord said, I'm aching for my people. I'm aching for them. Every part. Of our Lord is aching for relationship with us. Can you hear me? He is aching for intimacy with Him. He's aching for us to enter into intimacy with Him. He longs. Why do you think He created man? Relationship and intimacy. Intimacy with His creation. But you see, when He told me, reminded me five is the number of grace. And He reminded me what I was physically going through. And He's saying it's time to be emptied of self. To be emptied of all that defiles us. To ache for Him with every atom of our being. And seek His face, because the grace is here to receive it. Trump is doing his part. The Red Sox are winning against the Jets. And it's time for the church to arise, because the grace is here to enter into what He's bringing us to. There's grace to repent, grace to empty ourselves, grace to long after Him. There's grace here to do it now. Do you know what happens when we do it without grace? The pressure is steep. As I read the passages that I gave you today, and I don't want to go on too much longer because I want us to pray. As I studied those passages today, the one is about judging your brother. And the same measure, Matthew, the same measure with which you judge your brother, you will be judged. Consider that in all you do. The minute something rises up in you to condemn a man God has placed into office, to judge him for what the media, turnspeak, is twisting around and feeding to you, immediately repent. Immediately repent. Remember, you are not hearing truth. Because if you were hearing truth, CNN, ABC, NBC, and the other alphabet would have told you what happened in Congress on Monday. They would have told you that the people you elected into office voted against saving the life of a child that was aborted, a botched abortion. Sounds like an oxymoron to me. That's what they would have told you. that a baby struggling on an icy cold tray could not receive any relief, but we'd be left there to die however long it took. That's what the people we voted into office did on Monday. That's quite a day at the office. Those people are not going to speak the truth to you. And Senator Massey, he's going back. He's not giving up on this. I want you to know that. The same judgment we place on another, we will be judged with. Matthew 7. It's the woman in adultery brought before the Lord, a test. Would he follow the Lord? The law. Would he follow the law? Because the law says a woman caught in adultery must be stoned. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not only God. He was a man of wisdom, and he knew it was a trap. Because the law says that both the man and the woman caught in adultery would be brought before the church and stoned. He knew it was a trap. So he sat there quietly. And he said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." And there was authority in his words. In fact, there was so much authority in his words, it penetrated the hearts of those men standing there with their stones ready to condemn this woman to death. An innocent, maybe an innocent, maybe not. We're not here to assess or analyze that. But his authority was released into those men and women. And the conviction pierced their hearts. For they knew they were not without sin. They knew. Because the word of the Lord has that effect. It causes one to examine their hearts. Psalms 139 is an excellent scripture to read every single day. Search my heart, Lord. If there be any wicked way in me, reveal it. Why? So we can repent for it. In Jeremiah 4, Jeremiah had just spoken to Israel. Israel, which was in captivity. And told them judgment was coming. Israel, which was in captivity, repented before God. That's in chapter 3. Jeremiah, feeling, we know he was the weeping prophet, feeling deeply impacted by that word, went to his people, Judah and Jerusalem, because all of Israel had played the harlot, and judgment was coming for it. So he goes to Judah and Jerusalem to deliver a very similar word, who, by the way, was not in captivity. they were free. And they turned their noses, and judgment was released. And that word, if you read it later, is very, very, very severe. Very severe. Lord. Jeremiah proceeds to tell them about the desolation of the land that was coming because of their lack of repentance. Desolation. Because the Lord is saying, how long will the trumpet sound to awaken you out of your sin? How long will you be the harlot with the world? What does that mean? That is merging ourselves with the world. What did I say? We have been called to be earth shakers. We're not called to meld with the world. We're not called to be one with the world. We're called to be one with the Lord. Anything that stands apart from that is sin. Anything. So the Lord says, examine your heart first. And if there be any wicked way, any false judgment, any lying, anything that would harm our brethren, repent, and I will heal your land. We repent first, and then we cry out for the church, because the Red Sox are winning against the Jets. Trump is winning in his arena. But in the church, our arena, that is supposed to be lining up next to him, remember the beginning of this? He's raising a standard of righteousness. He's done. He's got it. He's got it anchored in. And the church is responsible for the rest. We're failing. We've got to repent for that. We've got to repent because this is serious before God. This is serious. I can't begin to tell you how serious this is. You will see more and more exposure of sin in the church. You'll see it. Why? Because he has to clean out the church. But I'm telling you, if we will come before him and really grab hold of this, we are headed into Purim. We are headed into the season. These feasts that are coming up, we are headed into. These precious feasts representing the death of Christ and his resurrection, Pentecost. This is the season we have where the grace abounds for us to pray this through. Will you do this with me? Will you stand with us? Will you take a stand for righteousness and raise the standard of righteousness in our nation on behalf of the church? Will you do it? Because the people who are called out of the world and into God are going to need a place to go. They're going to need it. They're going to need a place where they can come and receive the true word of God You're going to be surprised at how many of you end up with house churches. If you will grab hold of this, and you will take this season of grace that he's giving us and press through. There's something he's bringing the church. It's a powerful, powerful move that's coming. But we must prepare her. We've got to prepare ourselves. But 2020 is going to be a release that is profound, because we're leaving the church age and we're moving into the kingdom age. That's where we are. This release, it's bringing us into the kingdom age. My brothers and sisters, hear the cry of the Lord. Hear it. Hear it. And respond. Hear it and respond. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, break our hearts. Break our hearts. Forgive us for our silence. Forgive us for our silence when our children are harmed. Forgive us for turning a blind eye and a deaf ear. Forgive us for not seeking out the truth and allowing with the spirit of turnspeak to speak into our lives. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive us. Forgive us for standing in judgment of our brother who gave up everything to follow you. He's just a babe in Christ, but he gave up everything to do what you asked him to do. So important is it to raise a standard of righteousness. He brought the Bible from the Hebrides Revival, and he placed it in the White House. The anointing that was within that revival rests in the White House, our nation's capital, because it was important to him. What a family treasure that is. What a heritage he carries. And he seeks to bring it to this nation. Forgive us for standing in judgment of this man. Instead of standing beside him and praying for him to make the right decision for our nation. Forgive us, Lord. For merging with the world instead of turning it upside down with your gospel. Forgive us for encasing ourselves in aged buildings where the light cannot enter and neither can your presence. Forgive us for losing sight of In Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 32, there was corruption in politics, there was corruption in the church, there was corruption in the heart of the nation, and you looked for a man who would stand in the gap and be a hedge around the nation, and you found none. Let that not be said of us tonight, Lord God. Let that not be said of us tonight. Let us answer the call and give us the grace to press through. Let us answer and give us the grace to press through. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you. For your spirit, I thank you. For your tears. Thank you. In your precious name, amen. Thank you, John.